All right, hey guys, so today we're going to be here chatting to Lockie from Well Brewed. Mate, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, man. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, no, thanks for stopping in and chatting, because I know you're getting a flight back to Adelaide.
Yes, in like 3 hours or
something. Yeah. So we're going to smash some beers, have a chat.
Beautiful.
Well Brewed, mate.
Yes.
What is it? Is it a brewing company? Is it an equipment? Like, I know what it is.
Sure.
But yeah, give us an explanation.
Yeah, man. So look, we actually started life as a consulting business. We basically, for us, we're all brewers. So three of us, we've got, you know, like 40 plus years experience between the three of us, from like mass craft, you know, mass brewing, all the way down to craft and small stuff. And we really just wanted to use our experience to help people, because at the end of the day, we're all consumers.
Yeah.
We love beer, and that's why we do it.
Better beer for everyone is better beer for us, right?
100%, man. So, like, it's selfish, you know. Our motivation is I want to be able to go to the bar and drink great pints, because, you know, that's why we do it. So, started out doing consulting, and then we sort of worked out that the biggest impact we could have helping people was supplying with really good equipment.
Yep.
So, there was a lot of crew that were, you know, going direct to China and just really probably not having the experience to be able to acquire stuff that was going to see them through, you know, or be exactly what they wanted. And, and we found that, you know, the best way we could actually help people from the start is actually just supplying them with really good equipment. So got together and, Jake, one of the technical director, and so he's an engineer, and we started looking at what we could do, and we started designing our breweries from an engineering perspective, but then also from a practical perspective, because we've all worked in breweries.
Yeah.
We all know what Australian craft brewers want to do and the sort of styles they want to make.
Yep.
So it's like, well, let's design some equipment that's easy to use, easy to clean, and allows you to do the processes and do the hopping schedules and the souring and all those sort of things.
Yeah.
So that's how it sort of came about.
And nice.
Sort of like 18 months in now, and having
going
it right.
Well.
Yes.
Must be going well. You gave us both the shirt, Joel and
I. That's
shirt.
Right. You owe me $26, by the way.
Oh, so. No worries, mate. Yeah, we'll cover that. Don't worry. I said to Phil, I said, the beers are on me, just tell him.
That's
your 7 pints worth.
Yeah, that's it, so.
Yeah, nice.
No, it's been going well, but interesting year, I think, for everyone in the industry.
Yep.
Just with,
Bit of a struggle, but there's a lot happening, and there's a lot that's out of our control too.
Yes.
But there's just this bedding down of people just quietening.
Yeah,
100%. Not coming out to venue, though. It's a Saturday afternoon here, and this is looking
I know.
Pretty good, hey?
No, it's good, it's pumping. Actually, I was sitting before you guys got here and having a chat with someone at the bar, and I'm like, man, it's so busy for a Friday afternoon, and it's like, mate, it's Saturday.
I thought yesterday was like Wednesday, because that public holiday in the middle of the week just threw me off.
Yes.
And I've been catching up ever since, and I'm like, it doesn't feel like Saturday to me. It feels like it's this weird, another holiday.
Well, it's these 3 days of drinking beer too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, so we've both been judging
the indies.
Yeah, so it's been pretty full on. How have you found that?
I thought it was good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I thought... actually, talking to Will from Van Diemen.
Yes, yeah.
He was saying the same thing as what I was thinking was, it's like the quality of beer overall has just stood up.
Yes.
And so things like, you know, diacetyl, oxidation, all of those things, they might still be there, but then you've got to really look for it.
Yes.
And
in limited numbers now compared to 5 years ago, judging the same comp. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because there were a couple of diac bombs.
Yeah.
And some that were like full oxidation, but you never know when someone's packaged it and got it ready for the awards, and they might not have been there, you don't know.
It's pretty incredible. Like, I think, like, at the judging this week, and the quality of beer is really, like, stepped up for that comp. And I don't know, this will probably come out after the awards, so we can probably talk about it. But there was, like, first day, it was like over 100 gold medals.
Yep.
Out of 700 beers we judged, which is incredible. And a real testament to the quality, increasing quality of beer in Australia.
Yeah. I think it was really good too to see, like, there were a lot of different styles like around the place. It wasn't just, you know, a million hazies or like that sort of has stopped now by the looks.
It's people are starting to broaden, spread their wings a little bit.
Yeah.
And we did a lack beer. Reichsbier. Yeah. I don't know how you say it. You know, yeah. German little 3% thing. It was the first beer of the day on Thursday, and it was gold medal.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, who's brewing that? Yeah. I don't know.
But when you find out that win the awards, you'll be cutting it down.
I always drink 3% lagers. That's my thing, yeah.
Are you going to? You're not going to the Indies, because you are, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, I'm flying back tonight. Come back Monday morning.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It'll be great to see who's got up, because, obviously judging, you're tasting all these awards and you're awarding them golds and you don't know.
Yes, you don't know. Everything's blind. But it'll be good. And it'll be good. I think for the first time in like 3 years, we've got everyone together. Because we've had those. The parties,
COVID restrictions,
what are they? COVID, like the streaming parties.
Yep.
So it's been. It doesn't have the same vibe, the same.
Yeah.
Same thing, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it'd be good. Good times.
Do you find, like at the awards, when you're doing your judging, like where, you've obviously done a lot of brewing. You've been on the brew deck for ages.
Yes.
Not so much now.
Yeah.
You're talking to people, getting their kits up and going, and helping them that process.
Yeah.
How do you keep your palate current?
Yeah, it's a good question, eh? I don't know, it's hard. Like, I think once you get to a certain level of competency with tasting, but also like confidence.
Yeah.
I find like I've been a beer judge for nearly 10 years, probably more than 10 years.
Yep.
So, you know, cut my teeth, you know, doing Perth Royal Beer Show, 2012 or something back then, 2011 when I first started as an associate. And so the hardest thing was the confidence, you know, like can always taste a bit. And so like my sensory skills have improved.
Yeah.
But I think it's more like now I can go into a comp and know, you know, I haven't judged in, I don't know, whenever Queensland was recently, but 6 months or whatever. Yep. And I know that I can just sit down and from day one, because I'm not worried about being an outlier or whatever. Yeah. Whereas it's that confidence thing, I think, is
the
real.
I was definitely like that the first morning.
Yeah.
And I remembered back, because it was the second time I've judged. So I judged Queensland, was my first time as an associate.
Yeah.
Every other time I've been a steward, and I've sat down at a table every now and again.
Yes.
But yeah, judging. And I remember I was talking to, a couple of people actually. I was saying, I've worked out that I have to just back myself.
Yes.
Because that's what I'm tasting.
But that's all you can do. You call it as you see it.
Yeah.
And if you're wrong, that's fine. So. And that's the whole point of judging in a panel, right?
Yeah.
Is that everyone has a different palate. Everyone's got different sensitivities to different compounds. It can be intimidating. You know, you're in there judging with royalty of Australian
100%,
brewing.
Yeah.
You're sitting down with Rowan Pawsey and Scott Hargraves and Rich Adamson and these sort of guys that are just like have been doing this forever and are like, you know, basically
some
celebrities.
Of them are quick as shit too.
Yeah.
Like you're sitting there still on your third and they're like fifth.
Yes.
Looking at their phone.
And I find that intimidating as well, right? So, but I don't know, it just comes with time. And like, to be honest, I don't know. I just found I got to a point where like I didn't have to be recalibrating so often.
Yep.
But getting, I used to prep for comps as well when I was a bit more inexperienced.
Yeah.
I would like try and like seek out styles or think about flavor compounds. But now I think you can just kind of roll in and do it. But it just comes with time and experience, right?
Is there, what are you strong on? Like what's something that stands out like dog's balls to you?
With like flavor compounds?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm pretty good with diacetyl.
Yep.
Acid aldehyde I'm pretty good with. Acid aldehyde's one of those compounds, you know, it's typically a green apple.
Yeah.
When it's really high level for me, I get as like pizza dough.
Yeah,
it's like someone's drawn on with a Sharpie.
Yep.
So it's like solventy, doughy, sort of. And that's the thing with tasting is about learning how you perceive flavours.
Yes.
And then learning what the correct terminology for that is and relaying it back, because you got the descriptors of how things taste or how they should be perceived, but you'll always perceive them differently.
Yeah, it's like for me, acid aldehyde, I get more of a cidery thing, like an apple cider, but it's one of my weakest too.
Yes.
Especially when like there's fruity esters,
yeah.
Or there's hops in there, and then there's other judges going, oh, yes. Acid aldehyde.
Well, like, you've got like,
how the hell can you pick that up in there?
You know, like ethyl hexanoate, which is like, you know, red apple,
yep.
That like can be really easily confused, but that's like a positive attribute.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm really weak on like sulfur compounds.
Yeah.
So like stuff like hydrogen sulfide, which smells like farts.
Yep.
I remember like in ballistic days and we'd be like, you know, pouring beers out of the fermenter, like trying, you know, IPAs we're making.
Yeah.
I'd be like, fuck, this is great. And Jake would be like, all the other guys, be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
It smells like farts. I'm like, oh, that smells good to me, so.
I remember in the calibration, they had Buteric.
Mm.
And I picked it up, I couldn't even get it to my nose, and
yes.
It made me want to vomit.
Yeah, no
I was
shit.
Like, pull, that's massive to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And others are sitting there going, and yeah. I'm like, how the hell can you be doing that?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, nuts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, it's what you get used to, I suppose. You're like, yep, I know that that's there. I'm
yes.
picking it up and backing yeah. yourself just to write it in the notes.
Yep.
Because no one's learning as
yeah.
well if you don't say that it's in there.
Yes, 100%. And, and that's it. Yeah, you shouldn't be scared of being wrong, I guess
yeah.
is the thing, because that was always a big fear of mine when I was learning.
Yep.
But, you know, having done enough of this now.
You're not playing poker. Like, you can't
yeah,
sit
exactly.
there and go, oh, I wonder what they're writing.
And you're not going to get kicked out for doing the wrong thing. Like, you just call them as you see them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they want you to learn. That's
yeah.
the whole point of
yes,
it.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
your... So you moved to Adelaide now.
Yes,
you used
I have.
To be up here.
Yes,
you,
I'm a rat-a-lady.
Is your well-brewed, yeah, is yeah. your well-brewed taking you all over the country? Or is
yeah,
it, just
it is, and internationally.
Yep.
So yeah, we're doing a bit of stuff overseas. So like, yeah, so my business partners, they live in Brisbane.
Yep.
But I was west, yeah, Springfield, Ipswich area.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
And then business partners like up north, Shorncliffe, etc. So for us, it was like, we really only saw each other on Google Meet or
yeah.
Zoom or whatever, or if we're on a job together. So it's kind of nice, you know, like being able to pretty much work from anywhere in the world
yeah.
and then just travel to wherever the jobs are.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been cool. It's been nice. Gives us a bit of a presence down there and
yeah.
allows us to, you know, engage in the industry and the scene down there and have more of a broad impact as
yep.
well. So.
What do you, like, do you only source your equipment from one supplier, or do you go through different depending on like a budget or quality, or
yeah.
how does it work? Like,
yeah, so we don't, we use a few suppliers for different things. So we manufacture and import boilers now as
yep.
well, as well as breweries and tanks, etc. But we use a few suppliers depending on the project, but not normally budget dependent. So
yep.
we try and do high quality equipment that
yep.
Is going to be reliable and using like really good componentry so that people can, you know, continue making great beer forever
yep.
on these breweries. I mean, the idea, you know, I always remember like these old DME kits in WA. So I grew up WA and
yep.
that was my brewing background. And
yeah, because you worked with Charlie.
Yes, I did work with Charlie. Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah. Charlie.
If you're watching, g'day. Love you. All this, yeah, either.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's overseas at the moment.
Oh, is he?
First overseas trip.
Oh, wow.
And I said to him, I said, man, customs will pull you up. Like, the dogs will smell the hops and
yes.
think it's pot. And, and I said, don't freak out.
Yeah. He'd love that. Where'd he go?
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's gone in, where's he gone?
Fiji.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's classic.
Yeah.
It's it'd be interesting, his time with the food. Actually, I always give him a hard time. I did a podcast with him, with the well-brewed one.
Yep.
We're doing just asking them about how they build their brewery. And I remember I've known Charlie for nearly 15 years.
Yep.
We used to brew together. He was one of my first team leaders.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll hate me because it comes up every time in the second podcast now. Sorry, Charlie. But when he came up here, so I was running Ballistic and he came up here to start Helios.
Yep.
And he just moved up, he didn't know anyone, and my dad was up for Christmas, and so it was me and Vanessa, my wife, and dad, and I said, well, Charlie, just come around for Christmas lunch, you
yeah.
know? So I'm cooking, and I love cooking, you know, I'm a creative
yeah.
type, and did a bit of a chef's apprenticeship in my early days, so I love that stuff, and I was like, Charlie, come around, you know, what do you eat? What do you, you know, I'm making heaps of cool stuff, and,
mm.
you know, prawns and whatever, and...
He's like, I'm eating three veg, man.
Well, yeah, so I said, what do you eat? And he goes... Sausage rolls.
yeah.
I thought he was joking. He's like, oh, what do you eat? Nah, sausage rolls. Like, righto. That's just his thing. But yeah, no, it's good. He's a legend. And
yeah.
it is really contrasting with his, like, his dietary choices.
Yep.
With how amazing his palate is and his recipe design and his creativity around building beers.
And ability to pull out a fuck up, like to fix a something and just know what it needs and when.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible, right? So you really, it's mind-boggling to me. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. We'll have to hit him up.
Yeah.
Ask him how it goes in Fiji with the local cuisine. I don't know what they eat in Fiji.
I just say rice.
Exactly. Rice and tomato sauce. That's like my five-year-old. Yeah. Go Oscar.
You recently were down at his brewery at Whoopi and did a collab beer with him, which was a good beer.
Yeah, you liked it?
Yeah, it was an awesome beer.
Yeah.
I really, really loved it. Do you miss it?
Yes and no.
Yep.
I think, I've worked in and around breweries for a long time.
Yeah.
And the creative side of making something, making a product from scratch, I think it's been hard to not have that outlet anymore.
Yep.
I've also found it hard having to pay for beer.
Not on tap.
It's been more than a decade that I've not had an endless supply of free beer. So that's been hard. But I think it is. I've been homebrewed for a long time. I actually started making some gin recently at home, for something easy to do at home that allows me to have some sort of creativity.
I do. It's a good vehicle for flavour. You can do with it.
100%. And I was doing wacky stuff, I was putting 20 times the amount of fruit into gin that you're meant to. We did coconut oil and vanilla and, star anise.
Trying to make a cocktail in a bottle.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So that was fun and enjoyed that. But I do miss the environment of being around a brewery and the camaraderie that goes along with the hard work that you do to get a product at the end of the day. And
I'm assuming though, sometimes if a brewery's got a problem, you have to go there and be and you might spend a day.
Yes.
Because sometimes you don't know until you see it.
It
has to be that particular environment. Have to have the whirlpool going.
Yes, actually see and diagnose, problem solve.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And I do love that problem solving. I've always liked that side of brewing. I get bored doing the same thing day in, day out.
Mm.
And I think some of the best times I've had working in a brewery has been working on process optimization projects where you're just narrowing in on one little thing that could be better.
Yep.
And then you analyze it all and then allowing you, getting a better result and training people, writing a new procedure, and then everyone's life better, efficiency's up, and you can focus more on making great beer, right?
Yeah.
So I really get a kick out of that. Mm. It is hard, because we sell stuff all over.
Yep.
We find a lot of doing troubleshooting stuff over the phone, which is tough.
Yep.
It is hard just having, problems and you can't see, send me a photo or video call this and pull this thing out and press a button and see what happens, it's much harder to do that and think through and imagine what's happening rather than being there doing it yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. Is it, are you able to tell me some of the breweries you work with?
Yeah. Consulting wise, there's been a bit of stuff, but guys that got our breweries going in at the moment, we've got Copperload Brewery in Cairns.
Yep.
So we commissioned their kit. Recently, they're about to open Bacchus Brewing.
Oh, yeah. Ross out of...
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he's been talking about buying a new brewery for about 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And, we finally got him across the line, and we're really happy with that kit. It's a really nice kit.
Yeah.
And
Ross
one of
was
those...
talking it up the other way.
Awesome.
And how good it was.
Awesome.
The brewers had stepped in, and it's hard sometimes to scale up your recipe.
Yes. Oh, it's really hard. And we've been trying to support them as much as we can on going from... they're 50 litre batches into 12 hec, which is it's a big
it's
step up. And it's a very different process too, right?
Yep.
They've been doing really good. We've got another number of, holy dooly. we've just got some tanks into Black Flag up the coast. We've got a few other up the coast that haven't landed yet. So.
Yeah, cool.
It's been a cool, help these guys. A lot of the people we work with, not Bacchus specifically, but some of our other clients are just starting from scratch, and we can go from empty shed to help them plan all the stuff all the way through.
Yeah.
and just make their life easier, because we've been through it and I've made all those mistakes.
Yeah, there's a lot of steps, like, and it starts with an empty shed.
Yes, that's it. And there's a lot of stuff you do and you just, like, don't realise. Even, like, you know, choosing where you're actually going to be makes a big difference. Like, if you've got enough power, if you don't, you could be up for 60 grand just to, like, make sure you've got enough power to do your power upgrade. Yep. So there's heaps of stuff like that. We feel like we can help a lot of people not make the same mistakes we have.
And save some money.
Save some money, right? Yeah, that's the whole point.
What's your favourite thing to diagnose? Is it the beer product at the end?
Yeah.
And help them with that sensory thing to improve their product, like, oh, you need to mash at a different temp, or or is it more the equipment side of things where you're like going, oh, yeah, you need an actuator here to something? Like, what's...
It's funny. I get a kick out of both.
Yep.
I think my, like, sensory and beer knowledge skills are good enough that I really get a kick out of helping people take, you know, this is the beer, and then finding out where they want that beer to be, and then reverse engineering and helping with the process to actually get that beer to where it should be. Because often there's something obvious, you know, that, that could be doing better or could do differently that's going to, you know, increase the stability or quality or whatever of that product. But I really like the engineering side of it too, and I'm not an engineer.
Yep.
I'm a brewer that pretends to be one.
Yeah.
But I think if I was not so silly as a 17-year-old and didn't want to go to the pub instead of going to uni, I probably would have been a mech engineer or something. Like, I really like that. But, you know, I'm 35 now, and it's sort of, is what it is. So I just use Jake. So every time I've got an idea, I'm like, Jake, what do you reckon about this? And he's like, you know, gets his notepad out, does the calcs. He goes, no, that won't work, Lockie. Piss off. Thanks, man. Yeah, that's right.
Sure. Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
What was, like, what's success for your business? Like, is it having more people in different areas? Is it having a warehouse here where you guys are just, like, importing product and holding it because you know you're going to be moving it out?
And,
like, what's that next step? Is there a next step? Is it a...
Yeah,
is it, look, things you think about, or are you sort of just going, we're just going to see how we go?
Yeah, we definitely think about it. We are moving into Asia a bit more.
Yep.
We're exhibiting at Brew Asia in Ho Chi Minh.
Oh, cool.
And then Drink Tech in Delhi in October.
Yep.
So we're definitely getting out there. We're going to put a bit of focus on India.
Yep.
We think that's the biggest opportunity to help people, help the market there.
Yep.
Make better beer. We feel like they're maybe a few years behind what we're doing in Australia as far as craft beer, but they're really excited about it.
Yeah.
And so we see there's an opportunity that we can really drive that that part of things forward. But for us, success is more better beer.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's all about, because we're all drinkers, we're all consumers, and we love, like, my favorite activity is pub.
Yeah.
So for me to be able to go down the pub and have better beer more often and have people happier and easier and their life easier as brewers, like, that's what it's
just
all about
overall.
So it's whatever vehicle we use to get there, and then for us it's equipment at the moment. But also, you know, we've got the podcast which we're not monetizing. It's not about anything commercial. We're not trying to sell anything.
It's just being able to share what you're doing.
It's like, how can we use our experience to help people make better beer, because that's really what it's about. So
Well, it gives people that confidence when they know you've got a video there they can watch and go, so that's how you do that.
Yes, yeah, and trying to help people, you know, the whole thing with the podcast is more like people that haven't done this before, and they can come and get really usable, actionable information that a lot of people just keep as a secret, or you have to go out and find, right? There's no resource that we've found.
Or you learn by failing.
Yeah, exactly. And that costs you a lot of money, you know? Like, we've done this.
Yep.
We know that you need this many square meters to build a brewery, or your trade waste outlet pipe needs to be this diameter, et cetera, right? Like, there's a lot of that knowledge that cost us nothing to share.
Yeah.
But allows us to help people on their journey of making better beer. So,
yeah. Brew Asia.
Yes.
I'd love to go over there. My wife's Vietnamese, and I'm going over there in January, and I was trying to work it so that I could go over for Brew Asia.
Yes.
I can't, unfortunately. Yeah. But what are you looking forward to for going to there?
Really good question. Look, for us, we just want to understand more about the industry over there and how we can help people. But, you know, selfishly, food, really interested in the craft beer scene
over there. I'll give you some hints, man. I'll give you a list of cool things.
I've actually got an old friend who lives in Ho Chi Minh as well.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So he's a brewer. So I used to work with him at Gage Road years ago.
Is he at Pasture Street?
No, he's not. He's actually...
East-West?
He's not brewing over there.
Oh, right.
No, yeah. He's just teaching English.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but he was brewing for years and then just like ended up... Went on a like two-week holiday.
Yep.
So that's it, I'm going to move there.
Yeah.
And just did it. And it's there for like nearly 10 years now.
Yeah.
It's
totally nuts. I'd love to live over there.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I've not been there before, but I'm really, really pumped to...
Yeah. Yeah, the brewing scene, even in Ho Chi Minh, but just Vietnam as a whole.
Yes.
But even that whole Asian corridor.
Yes.
Is fascinating. Because they're just doing... That's actually... Pasture Street Brewing in Ho Chi Minh is what got me to learn brewing.
No shit.
Yeah.
Well, actually, interesting connection. I nearly went there and built their new brewery for them.
Oh, right.
So when I was living in the UK, Alex, who was an owner of Pasture Street... It was a friend of a friend of ours. He was going back to America because he had a baby coming on. And we, and I was talking to him about actually moving from London to Saigon to build their new site.
Yeah,
We ended up coming to Ballistic instead. It was only because my wife was going to have trouble as a nurse if we were away from Australia too long. Yep. She'd lose her registration. Yeah. So we're like, if it's more than 2 years, it's not going to line up.
Yeah, right.
I was very close to actually doing that.
I remember like Goza is one of my favorite styles.
Yeah.
And I remember going in there and they had a pink dragon fruit Goza.
Awesome.
And they have like, like a brandy balloon, like 250ml brandy balloons where they're tasting paddle glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to try all the beers. So I got like two tasting paddles, which is like 10 beers.
Yeah, but also like two of them is one pint, right?
Yeah.
So you've got like five pints.
2.5 litres. I'm like, it's going to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this beer, I'll never forget it. Hey, it was like, it looked like a pink highlighter.
Uh-huh.
And it was refreshing. It was salty. I just wanted more of it.
Amazing.
It was like a 40 degree day, like 100% humidity. Yeah. I'd been walking around the city because it was my last day in Ho Chi Minh. And I was like, my third trip to Vietnam and I'd never looked for craft beer.
Yeah, well.
And I like, just was looking while I'm in the hotel and I'm like, there's a brewery just around the corner, damn it.
Yeah, yeah.
What am I doing? I'm an idiot. So off I went.
Killer.
And and then 2.5 litres later.
Yes.
Yeah. But I find the beers over there amazing. I love them. But,
And I think it would be, it's definitely more challenging running a brewery over there. Mm. I think like access to really good raw materials is tough.
I think that's what is the cost over there.
Access to good maintenance and trades and stuff when things go wrong.
There's a lot of expats over there too.
Yeah.
And a lot of the Vietnamese are keen to learn.
Yes.
Which is what you want, right?
100%, yeah.
Because they're going to know the local flavour and expectation. It depends on where you go, I think.
Yeah.
But that would be my dream. In 5-10 years, retire over there.
Go and build a brewery over there?
Yeah, just a little brewery.
I can help you with that. Yeah.
Oh, mate, don't worry. Yeah. It'll be a work junket for you.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
India, you mentioned India.
Yes.
Before. There's a beer style that I've read about for years and I've been trying to do over here, but I can't.
IPA.
No. I can't do IPAs. I freaking hate them.
Yeah.
I can commercially, but at home. Just too much oxidation.
Right.
I just always struggled at home with IPAs and oxidation.
Yeah, no
just
shit.
To the point where it was just easier just to not do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, there's so many other beer styles.
Yeah,
right? I don't need to brew IPAs. I can buy good IPAs.
Yes. Every brewery makes them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I just didn't do them.
Sorry, what was your Indian?
So, there's a beer over there called Handia.
Okay.
And it's like a traditional rice beer.
Uh-huh.
And it's made by like the women. They go out and they make... From what I can gather, there's not a lot of information on it, but they go out. I love historical beers and weird shit.
Yeah.
And so they go out and they pick these like roots and leaves and bark and all sorts of shit. And they make these things called Ranu tablets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like about golf ball size.
Yeah.
And they leave them out in the sun for 3 or 4 days. And if they crack open, it's bad Ranu, you can't use them. But if they stay together, that's good. And I think what it is that collects the wild yeast in them. And so then when they make up their mash, which is it's just a rice beer, they put it all in terracotta pots that are half buried in the ground.
So no barley, it's all rice.
No barley, it's all rice.
Yeah.
And then they just throw in, none of this is carbonated or filtered or anything, right? It's like, it's almost like, I don't really know.
Yeah.
It's handier. Yeah, and so they throw these Ranu tablets in there and then they leave that for like a week.
Yeah.
And then they just start doling it out. And so it's like this creamy, milky drink.
Boozy, flat thing.
Yeah, it can be anything from like 3.5. I don't know that they're not there with hydrometers, right? Like,
yeah. They don't have an Anton Par, like Alex 500.
No.
Yeah.
But it fascinates me.
Yes.
I really want to give it a crack.
You want to make one?
Yeah.
What are the tablets called?
Ranu tablets.
You've
got to make it from all these specific ingredients.
Right.
It's not all over India. It's like only in specific areas. Uh-huh. But
we
do me
do
a favour when you... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Find some information out and see what you can glean.
Absolutely.
I'll get a terracotta pot.
Yes.
I'll make some Ranu if I can.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. I got a list of ingredients because I found a recipe online.
Yeah.
And so I got a list of ingredients.
Have you ever drunk it?
No, I haven't.
Well, I'll try and find some.
Every time I try and, like, I go into all the Indian or Sri Lankan spice stores and I'm walking in and they're like,
what's that?
Like, I want this. Yeah, Handia. Yeah.
Handia?
Yeah.
I'll try and bring some back.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, get it past our customs. Yeah, sure.
It's all right. Yeah. Pocket, yeah.
Cut that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Border security.
Yeah, Lockie snuck it home in a condom up his ass. Yeah.
Lockie's just like, why is this man nervous? We don't know why. Looking at the camera. Fucking adzy. Oh, shit. What's something that you want to find? Like, while you're doing this, is there... I know you're good beer and, helping people out of that, but what's something that you would just be like, you've done it?
Yeah, what, like overseas, in Asia?
Anywhere. Is it a thing that where you can just be like you can look back and you be like, work's not a struggle anymore, work is super just enjoyable because this point right here was what made it. It might have already happened.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe it's already done.
Yeah.
You know? Like, built some breweries, I've built some business, I've like, I don't know, I had some creative outlet, we've had, you know, been involved with breweries of national ranging and and now it's like, you know, I get to really lean on what I'm really excited about, which is building breweries and helping people make better beer. So, yeah, maybe it's already happened. I don't know. Maybe something else will happen and I'll realise it. But yeah, like, I think it's a really good spot to be in and, you know, being in a good spot to be able to help people.
Great industry, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone's in it for the same reasons, you know, and that's what I love about it. It's like everyone's so giving, so... passionate and so loving. It's a really nice thing to be a part of.
Yeah.
And I think if we can all just work together like we currently are, we can really, you know, do something meaningful and have some really positive impact on the industry, but also the world, you know? It's good.
Yeah, nice. And it sounds like the live music's about to kick off, mate. We'll probably have to wrap it up. But I'll ask you one more question.
Yes.
What's your favourite beer?
Ah, good question. Well, it's this one because I'm currently drinking it.
Phil can't hear you, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Phil. I don't. It changes every day.
Yeah.
But I like beer that's good and it's fresh. Yeah, it sounds boring, but I like fresh, good beer.
Yeah.
And regardless of style.
It can change, right? Like, if different weather, different food that you're eating,
depends on the
your
day.
Company. Yeah.
But yeah, honestly, I drink a lot of pale ales and pilsners at home. But I've just drunk, you know, in the judging, we've probably had 120 different beers over 2 days, and they were an eclectic mix of, and the good ones are great. And I'd rather drink a really amazing fruited sour that may not be my first go-to than an average pale ale. So
100%.
It's all about good beer.
Yeah,
it's all about appreciating the process and the people and the work. So,
yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Well, let's wrap it up here. Let's go and have a dance.
Yes.
Cheers, man.
Cheers, Adzi. Thanks for having us, man.
No worries.
Cheers, Joel.